So, I am so excited to come up here today and share from God's Word. But before I begin talking about our text today, I want to let you know the reason that I'm here. And so, I'm here because I want to preach God's Word, and I want to preach it faithfully, and I'm really excited to do that. But this is not a normal sermon. This is a sermon that has a very particular purpose. I'm coming up today because I want to preach to our graduating seniors here at the church. We have four seniors, and we're going to take some time after I preach to celebrate them and give them some gifts. But this sermon is for them. I want to take the lesson that God has put on my heart today and share it with them and give it to them. And so you as a church body, this is going to be something, we're going to learn a lesson from James that all of us can take principles from, that all of us can follow and all of us can learn from. But this message is particularly for our graduating seniors. And so what you can do as a church is take this message and take these principles and follow them and be an example to our seniors of how to live them out in our lives. And so we want to come around our seniors and encourage them and support them as we send them off into the next phase of their lives. And so you can do that by living out these principles in your lives as well. But I want to just remind you that this is a sermon for them. So this is for our seniors, but juniors, that doesn't mean you can fall asleep or else you're going to hear the same thing next year. So make sure you pay attention. So I'm going to bring a text to you this morning from the book of James. James is a book that is very focused on wisdom, and it's wisdom literature. It's a lot like the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. It's very straightforward with a lot of its instruction, but it's really honest, and it's kind of hard to live out sometimes because it's just very direct, and James just says, do things. He's very focused on works and what we do and living out our faith practically. And so we're going to learn from James, and the reason that we're in James is because we've been going through the foundation series. And so over the course of a year, we've been trying to move from Genesis to Revelation, looking through major passages of the Bible and seeing the whole story. And so we've now found ourselves in the book of James this week, and I think that the Lord has been really good in blessing us with this passage this week. That in our readings, he has given us a passage that I think is a perfect lesson for us to hand off to our seniors as we encourage them and support them and send them off into the next phase of their lives. So let's go before the Lord in prayer before we dive into this text. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness. God, I thank you for the book of James. I thank you for the hard truth that it can bring and the lessons that it gives us. God, I thank you that you have not left us on our own. And God, I pray for these seniors that as they go out into the next phase of their lives, that they try to obey what you've called them to do. God, I pray that you be with them and that you make your presence known to them. God, I pray that you help them to follow you and to put you first no matter where they go. God, we know you have great plans for them, and I pray that as a church we can rally around them and support them and love them. God, you are so good and so faithful to us, and I thank you for these things in your name. Amen. Have you ever come to a point in your life where you had to make a decision? Where you had a crossroads, where you had one choice on the left and one choice on the right, and you didn't know what to do. And what you needed right in that very moment was some wisdom. James, as I mentioned, is a book of wisdom literature, and so this whole passage, we're going to be in James 3 today. So if you want to open your Bibles to James chapter 3, we're going to be in verses 13 through 18. James chapter 3. And so James is going to talk to us about wisdom, and that means what wisdom is what it looks like. When you come to a crossroads, what are you going to choose? And in this passage, James gives us a choice between two things. Let's look at verse 13. He asks the question first, who is wise and understanding among you? This is a hard question. It's kind of bold. As I mentioned, James is really straightforward. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? And I want to pose that question to you as well. Think in your minds and consider if you are wise and understanding. A lot of times, we tend to have a difficult ability. It's difficult for us to evaluate ourselves, to look in the mirror and be honest with ourselves. A lot of times, either we overrate ourselves or we're not too confident, so we underrate ourselves. And so when we're thinking about if we're wise and understanding, sometimes we might think, I'm not wise at all. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm clueless. Or, I am the wisest man alive. Sometimes I think that to myself, and that's wrong. We tend to be confident in our own evaluation of ourselves, but James here gives us some guidance in how to tell if we are wise or not, and then if we are not, how to become wise. And so he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." So James is going to provide us with two paths today, two routes for our lives. One is true and good wisdom. And it says if you have that true and good wisdom, it's going to be evident. But if you have true and good wisdom, you are going to have good works and good conduct. You're going to be a person that is meek and humble. And so, wisdom is not just something that you are, but it's something that you do, and that's what James is concerned with. That if you're wise, you're going to live it out by your good conduct. And so as we consider the question of being wise and understanding, we have to look at our own lives and our actions and say, is wisdom reflected in my actions? Not just in my thought process, but in how I live. So James says, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Moving on to verse 14, he says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. And so James is presenting this wisdom that is good and true and righteous. And then he goes on to say, if you have jealousy and selfish ambition, do not boast, do not lie, you don't have true wisdom. He goes on to say, verse 15, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. And so this wisdom over here, it's characterized by jealousy and selfish ambition and a selfishness. The wisdom that is good, that is righteous, that is kind and loving and makes the right decisions is selfless. But the wisdom that is evil and false is selfish. James says in verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. And senior, I know that you have seen this in your lives already. You're going to move into a phase where this is going to become even more real, but you've seen in your schools and among your peers that the way of the world is selfish. The way of the world is about me. Make the most of yourself. Make the most of your name and your reputation. You've seen that through social media. Everyone is preoccupied with getting their numbers up and having the most followers and being the most influential. It's selfish. And the goal is to be jealous of others who have more than you and to dislike them and to seek to make more of yourself. And this leads to disorder in every vile practice. This path leads to destruction and evil. James is giving us two paths. One of these paths is really, really easy. One of these paths is really, really hard. And so Jesus says to us that there are two paths, and one of them is wide. It's open. This path has a lot of people going through it, and it is our natural state without Christ. Our natural state without Christ is to be false to the truth, to be selfish and seek only for our own good. And this path is easy, and it is flat, and it is appealing. But there is another way, and this way is a path that is narrow. It's uphill, it's rocky, it's difficult, but it is worth it. And that is the way of the Lord and the way of true wisdom. And so, senior, you're going to come to a place where you need to make a choice, and I encourage you to make that decision now to choose wisdom. Choose real, honest, genuine wisdom. Choose the wisdom that is difficult. Do not choose the wisdom that is empty and full of deceit and selfishness. Choose the wisdom that is good. Let's look at verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So there's a lot of characteristics of wisdom that James portrays here, and I want to kind of go through them and say, senior, what does this look like in your life? What does it look like to have true wisdom? James says that this wisdom from above, this wisdom from God, is first pure. And purity is something that is going to be challenged in your life, senior. There are going to be so many influences and so many forces, as many of us can attest to, that will try to ruin your purity. in every single way, not just sexual purity, but emotional purity and spiritual purity. Things will try to ruin the integrity of your character and your mind, and you need to have the courage to stand firm and say, no, I value my purity. We recently took the seniors to a trip to Chicago, and we had a lot of fun there, and we had some sessions. And in those sessions, one of them, we talked about having authority over your own life and what that looks like. And that might sound kind of weird to you because how am I supposed to be an authority over my own life? Like, God's my authority. But what having authority in your life means is having the courage to make your own decisions. Senior, you have lived your life with your decisions being guided by others. Your parents, your mentors, your teachers. You're coming to a place in your life where those decisions can be fully yours. And so my encouragement to you is to wear that badge of your life, that badge of authority, and plant your feet and say, I want to be pure. When someone comes to you and says, hey, let's go do something that is sinful. Let's go drink. Let's go party in a way that we shouldn't. You have to have the courage and the authority over your own life to say no. James says that this wisdom is pure. And so I encourage you to value that. And to say no when saying no is necessary, and to say yes when saying yes is necessary. And that is often quite difficult. Next, this wisdom is peaceable. It's gentle. It's full of mercy. This wisdom is characterized by the way that we interact with other people. Senior, as you go into a new environment, as you go into a new place and you meet different people, I encourage you to have the courage to make peace. Division is easy. It is easy to war with other people and to be angry and to separate. Have the courage to forgive. Have the courage to make peace. Make yourself one that has a reputation of unity. Be someone who unites, taking the love of Christ and bonding people together. Be gentle. You're going to encounter lots of people who do not know the Lord. Lots of people who you will need to share the gospel with. And when you share the gospel with them, be gentle, be loving, share truth with love. This wisdom is open to reason. And in wrestling what this means, I think that there's a couple different ways that you can interpret it. Being open to reason in this wisdom means first, being open to reason among believers. When a believer comes to you and says, I think there's something in your life that is not going so well, or I think there's something in your life that you could improve. Be open to that. There's a stereotype that a lot of college students think they know everything, and don't talk to my parents because they'll tell you that that's right in my life. But you're going to come to this place where you need to be open to reason. People will say, hey, I think you could do something differently. I think you could do something better. Be open to that. Another way that you can be open to reason is in conversations about your faith. Senior, as you move into the world, as you move into independence, your faith is going to come under attack. People are going to challenge your faith. They're going to ask hard questions. Senior, I encourage you to be open to this reason. Engage with it. I'm thankful that we have a God who can stand up to being challenged. And so when you face this challenge, don't run from it. Don't hide, but be open to this reason. Be willing to make a defense for your faith. It says next that this wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. And I want to get back to the good fruits in just a second. We're going to talk about that. It then goes on to say that this wisdom is impartial and sincere. I could preach an entire sermon about being impartial or an entire sermon about being sincere. But just a little note on each of these things. Being impartial is extremely important. As you move into a new phase of life, you are going to meet so many new people, so many new faces, and that's really exciting. But I encourage you to make the choice now to look at them with the eyes of God and not your own eyes. I remember I am not that far off from when I graduated from high school. I remember going into my freshman year at Moody Bible Institute. And my RA gathered all of us freshmen together in a room, and we sat in a circle, and we had to say our name and say our major and say a fun fact about us, which gets old really quick. And so as we go around this circle, I remember I wasn't really listening. I was just kind of looking with my own eyes. I thought, that guy looks really cool, and that guy looks like someone I want to talk to. And I scanned the whole room, and I looked and saw one person. I thought, that guy looks like a loser. And it hurts me to say that, because that was prideful and wrong, and that was from the wisdom that was false. And God showed me a lesson in that moment, because that person is now my best friend. And God has used that person in my life to show me that my vision is flawed. And senior, your human vision is flawed. I encourage you to look at people with the eyes of God. James chapter 2 tells us that if someone comes into your church and looks rich and has fancy rings and looks like they have a lot of money, treat them no differently than you would someone who is homeless. Because both of them are equally valued in the eyes of God, and you're going to meet so many new faces. And senior, my prayer for you is that you do not judge people on their faces. Next, this wisdom is sincere. And I think sincerity, or a lack of it, is an epidemic. I think that so many people are so afraid to be themselves, especially in Christian circles. As hard as that is to say, we can often be so occupied with our own reputation, with our own image, with creating a persona that is completely holy, that is completely good. I don't mess up. I'm a good Christian. Senior, you are going to mess up. You are going to make mistakes, and you are going to fail. I want you to know that we as a church are going to be here to rally around you when you do, and support you and encourage you. If you're seeking to climb up this way that is narrow and rocky and uphill, you're going to fall down sometimes, and sometimes you're going to fall really hard. But I encourage you to be sincere in those moments. When you mess up, don't pretend that you're okay. Ask for help. It's okay. Be yourself, because the only way you can grow is to be honest. Be sincere, senior. Verse 18 then goes on to say, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." James caps this off and says, if you stand in this good wisdom, if you stand with the wisdom that is from above, you will sow a harvest of righteousness. You will do amazing things for the kingdom of God. And so, senior, you have a choice today. A choice between two paths, one that is earthly and unspiritual and demonic, and one that is full of righteousness and peace and love. One of these is easy, one of these is hard, and I encourage you, choose wisdom. Choose real, genuine, honest wisdom. Choose a wisdom that is okay with making mistakes, that gets back up. Choose a wisdom that reaches out and asks for help. Choose a wisdom that is willing to wrestle with tough questions. Choose a wisdom that is selfless, that gives to others rather than seeking to take. Now, I knew a guy once who wanted to pursue this type of wisdom. He was a new Christian. He was trying to figure out, what is this Christianity thing really about? How do I become more like Christ? Because I keep getting angry, and I keep getting frustrated, and I keep being mean to people, and I don't want to be like that. How do I obtain this wisdom? How do I become better? And so he went to a trusted friend and a mentor and said, what do I do? How do I get rid of this anger and frustration and this sin in my life? And his mentor went to him and said, open Galatians 5. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. And so he read. He said, okay, there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All right, and his mentor said, pursue those things. All of those characteristics are good. Pursue those things. And so he tried. He tried so hard that every time he encountered a tough situation, he would say, okay, I need to be loving. And he would try. And he would come up empty every time. Because he focused on the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Instead of focusing on the beginning of the verse. And that says, and the fruit of the Spirit is. Those characteristics, they're so good. They're so incredible to have in your life, but they are a fruit. And you cannot have fruit apart from a tree to bear it. And senior, this is my final encouragement to you, is grow the tree. You cannot choose this wisdom unless you have a relationship with God that is deep, that is strong, that is consistent. Prioritize God in your life. Ever since you were a little kid in Sunday school, we've been saying that it's good to read the Bible and to pray. And those things sound cliche to you, maybe. Maybe they're too familiar, but those things are good. And we say those things for a reason, because a consistent daily walk with God and His Spirit will lead to true wisdom. It will lead to all of those fruits that we talked about. It will lead for you to be in a place where you can choose wisdom. You will be able to avoid jealousy and selfish ambition and all the things that lead to destruction. This place right here, this place of false wisdom, it is a bad place to be. This place, it promises life, but it brings death. And if you live in this false wisdom, you're going to find yourself lonely and afraid and sad. But if you choose righteousness and wisdom, you will find life. And Jesus has allowed us to have this wisdom that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And so, Senior, that is my final encouragement to you, which is to choose Jesus every single day. Prioritize your walk with Him, and you will be able to choose this wisdom over the false wisdom. Choose Jesus every single day, and it will be the best decision you could make. Let's pray. Father God, I'm so thankful for this word from the book of James. God, I thank you for the ways that you've blessed us with it. I thank you for our seniors, God. I'm so encouraged, even just in this past year, to see these four seniors grow and mature and learn. And God, I'm so excited to see the plans that you have for their lives. God, I pray that you can help them to prioritize their walk with you every day, that they can be faithful and wise in all of their decisions. When they come to a crossroads, God, I pray that they choose you. God, I'm so thankful for today and this beautiful weather and the ways that you've blessed us. In your name, amen.